Now, during the song, one of the earlier songs, as we were singing to God, I reflected that God's so amazing becoming one of us. But then he decided to grow up in a village that didn't even have a sewage system. Like, all of us have toilets in our houses that work most of the time. But God humbled himself so much. He didn't pick a palace. I mean, there were cities that you could have grown up in the ancient world that had functioning sewage systems, but Nazareth didn't. And that's where God chose to grow up as a human. And we are going to start by reading some ancient words from Jesus' brother, the guy who grew up with Jesus and didn't really understand who he was or believe in him until after the resurrection. And this is from James chapter 1. And the first verse is an amazing verse. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ. Imagine getting to the point of being able to say that about your brother that you grew up with. But that's what happened for James. James chapter 1. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. If any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God, who gives generously to all without finding fault, and it will be given you. But when you ask, you must believe and not doubt, because the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea blown and tossed by the wind. That person should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. Such a person is double-minded and unstable in all they do. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wildflower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich will fade away even while they go about their business. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own desire and enticed. Then after desire is conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be a kind of first fruits of all he created. Two weeks ago, we read a passage from the Gospel of Luke. We started with Jesus' baptism and went through his genealogy and into his tempting in the wilderness. And we saw how Jesus, in his testing in the wilderness, had to deal with the three aspects of our humanity that God has created for each of us. And so we are going to do a brief recap of that before we get to this passage in James today. And there's just going to be some slides up on the screen. And we're going to go through them pretty quickly. But don't worry about trying to remember them all, because they're posted in the hub and you can get them all there. Thanks, Mark. You can go to the first one. So each of us has built with and created with the need for approval and connection with other people. And we also have ambitions, and we also have appetites for food and rest and all of those sort of other things. And God's intention for us is that they should be connected entirely to God, with God's blessing, God's kingdom, and God's abundance. But we are separated from God, and so this is our actual reality that we experience, that our approval, our appetite, and ambitions and appetites are disconnected from the source, God's supply. And so then we go in other ways to try and have our need for approval, ambitions, and appetites filled, and often in sinful and broken and unhelpful ways. But God hasn't left us in that position. God has acted in history and acted in your life and my life. God has sent his son Jesus, and God has come to us rather than waiting for us to go to him. And so God comes to us, and so that we can now go to God and become children of God, be adopted by him, receive forgiveness and new life. But there is a process that needs to happen of reconnecting the disconnected parts of our lives. Our need for approval needs to be reconnected to God's blessing. Our ambitions need to be reconnected to God's kingdom. And the way we have our appetites fulfilled needs to be reconnected to God's abundance. And there's just as like as we've got approval, ambitions and appetites, we have three A words that go with that. And so the first one is that we abide in the blessing. I abide and sit and rest in the fact that I'm God's child. And if everybody else rejects me, I'm okay because God loves me and God's with me and will never leave me or forsake me. He's my good, good father. And with our ambitions, often our ambitions are selfish and misguided, but if we align them with God's kingdom, then we will find them, our ambitions are actually aligned with God's purposes, and that's the new life that God wants us to be in. And finally, we access God's abundance for the needs that we have in our lives. And fortunately, the Lord's Prayer is uniquely designed to help us do this. And so, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, is about us abiding in the blessing of God being our Father and him being the focus rather than us. Your kingdom come, your will be done is a prayer that says, Lord, I want my ambitions and my kingdom to be aligned with yours. And give us today our daily bread as a daily dependence on God for the things that we need. So that's a brief summary of our appetites, ambitions and approval, how they're disconnected from God and how they're reconnected to God. And all of that's in the hub, and you can go and have a look at that. Thanks, Mark. You can take that one off. But how does it happen in the micro? Like, that's the big picture, but how does it happen in the micro? Well, the book of James, or the letter of James, really covers that. And it's a good thing to do, actually, is to go through and read the book of James through the lens of appetite, approval and ambition. And sometimes people sort of, we think that James is sort of cut up into individual segments with headings and other things. But actually, if you understand that it's largely about this, then you will see that it's actually a coherent whole. And it makes sense. And so we're going to go through at least, we're going to go through the bit that we read out this morning, but we could go on beyond that. And so we'll start with that. And I'm not going to say the Greek words, but I'm going to draw attention to some Greek words because the underlying words are actually the same in a few places, which will be helpful for us. So it starts off with the introduction, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations, greetings. Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Now, this word trials here is the same word that down in verse 12 it says, blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life. And then in verse 13, when tempted, that was the same word. It's the same word for trial or tested or tempted. It's exactly the same word. When tempted, no one should say, God is trialing me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone, but each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own evil desires. So now we want to get into the sort of nitty-gritty of how do we know that there's bits of our lives that God is working, wanting to work at, to try and reconnect to God, to the blessing, the kingdom, and the abundance of God. Well, there are a series of emotions or experiences that are like alerts that will help us for that. And the first one is an A word, and that's anger. If you think about it, if your need for approval or your ambitions or your appetites are not met or they're thwarted or something, what's your immediate reaction? Anger. right? Now, there's other reasons you might get angry, right? You might get angry at injustice or whatever else. So it's not just that anger is always about an internal thing for you. I'm not saying that. But if you're experiencing anger about something, that's an indication that maybe there's some reconnecting or strengthening that needs to happen in one of these three areas in your life. But it's not just anger. Maybe it's guilt. Because you haven't done the things you were supposed to do. Because that's what you're trying to please even maybe a long dead parent or some other person. And you haven't lived up to that. Or maybe shame. Someone's rejected me or whatever. Or fear. Where's my next meal coming from? Now, like, maybe if you, see a snake and you experience fear and there's an adrenaline surge, that's a good thing, right? And you get out of there as fast as you can or whatever you need to do, right? So, again, I'm not saying that all of these emotions are always these things. They're not guaranteed, but they are, they're indicators. Okay, maybe there's something here that I can actually pause and reflect on and dig into a little bit. And in coming weeks, Chris and Lindsay are going to actually be unpacking guilt and shame in a bit more detail. But today I want to look at the process that James talks about here. And the first shocking thing is he says, consider it pure joy when you face these tests that might spark your anger or your fear or your shame or your guilt. Pure joy? What? Why should I? Well, it's because the kingdom of God is an upside down, inside out sort of deal. It's a surprising and strange place for us to live. And it's a pure joy because, he goes, whenever you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance, let perseverance finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. Now, this seems a bit difficult to understand, but perseverance is like patient endurance. And what it is that when you experience some lack of food or lack of acceptance or your ambitions are thwarted or something like that, you get to live in a space of trust with, this is not my, it hasn't been fulfilled at the moment, but I'm choosing to trust God for it. I don't have a meal on my table yet, but I'm going to choose to trust God for it. I haven't got the affection from people that I know I need, but I'm going to choose to trust God for it. And when I patiently endure in trusting that, what it does is it strengthens my connections to God's blessing and kingdom and abundance. And repeated doing of that turns into a characteristic. So that I may be mature and complete, having my need for approval strongly connected to the blessing of God, having my ambitions strongly connected to the kingdom of God, and having the way I look to have my appetites fulfilled strongly connected to God's provision. Mature and complete. It's a bit like when you go to the gym and you do another bicep curl, whatever that is, or some other squat or crunch or lunge or some run you do or whatever. You know, you endure it, you go through it, and the end of it, you're a fitter person, right? But when the alarm has gone off, the anger has gone off, the fear, the shame, the guilt or whatever is, and you recognize that there's some weakened or disconnection of you between those aspects of God that you need to be reconnected with, then often we need to do is we need to ask God for wisdom. And so James goes on to say, if any of you lacks wisdom, you should ask God. And the theme of riches is a big theme in the book of James. And so James then gives an example after that. After he's saying, you should ask God for wisdom and trust God for wisdom and expect that he'll give it to you. And then he gives you some surprising wisdom. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position, but the rich should take pride in their humiliation, since they will pass away like a wild flower. Now, this is a strange, weird, upside-down sort of thing, isn't it? But you can imagine someone stressing out, like, I'm living wherever I'm living. Maybe it's in Rome, and I'm the lowest of the low servant, and all around me are these a handful of uber-wealthy people living in palaces, and I'm distressed by that. And I'm even angry about that, or I'm fearful in that space. But I know that this testing is something that's a joyful thing for me. God, what's your wisdom? Well, guess what? Those rich people don't really have it that good in God's economy. They're like flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow. They're fading already. They don't even know it yet, but they're fading. Okay. So now I have a different perspective on my circumstance. Believers in humble circumstances ought to take pride in their high position. Mary, the mother of Jesus, in the Magnificat, I think it's in Luke chapter 1 or Luke chapter 2, talks about how God turns everything upside down. He feeds the hungry and he casts out the rich. God turns everything upside down. The first will be last and the last will be first. That's the reality of the kingdom. And that's the reality of the relationship I get to live in with my Heavenly Father. Now, this example is about riches, but inserted about other things, about approval or about your ambitions or about the need for food or whatever else it is, other aspects of appetite, approval, and ambition in there, that when we notice the alarm has gone off, okay, God, what's your wisdom? What's your unique, different perspective that I need to take to this situation? And then James sort of comes around to it again and digs into it a bit further. Blessed is the one who perseveres under trial, because having stood the test, that person will receive the crown of life that the Lord has promised to those who love him. When tempted, no one should say, God is tempting me, for God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does he tempt anyone. But each person is tempted when they are dragged away by their own. And for those of you who are following along in the NIV version, will notice that it says their own evil desire. Well, the NRSV is a better translation, their own desire. The word evil isn't in there. It's just desire. Because we all have desires for appetites, approval, and ambition. In and of themselves, they're not evil. But when they arise, and it says, and enticed, it's the idea of being lured away. You might have seen some video of, I don't know, some little microorganism thing, and they have it like, they have a little thing that's sort of poking out the end of it, and it's sort of flailing about, and it's trying to find something to connect onto, right? And our appetites and approval and ambition are a bit like that. They're like arms sticking out from us, trying to connect onto something, just anything. You see little kids, and what do? Like, they'll just grab on anything and they'll put it in their mouth. Like, I know I'm hungry. I'm not sure whether this is edible. I don't know if it's poisonous or not, or if it's tasty, but I'm just going to grab it and shove it in my mouth. And then dump some of it over the side of the high chair or whatever else, because I want to test gravity as well. But when we're disconnected from God, our desires just find and latch onto anything. And you might be able to reflect in your life how your need for approval meant that you just were willing to accept it from anybody, even someone who was abusive. You're such a deep need for approval that you're willing to risk lots of other things just to have that. Or your desire for something, your ambition for something meant that you were willing to sacrifice lots of other things to get your ambition. You see, these drives in us are powerful, and we, when we're disconnected from God, they will latch on to anything and everything. They will we'll be enticed away. And then when we're latched onto those things, if we're doing it in unhelpful ways, it can actually lead to sin. And that's what James says. Then when after desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin. And sin, when it is fully grown, gives birth to death. Now, it's not that the desire is sinful. The desire is part of how God has made you. But when you're disconnected from God, and when that desire is disconnected from God's provision, then you try and find it in other ways, and you'll end up sometimes in doing it ways that are actually sinful. Sometimes in ways that are harmful to yourself, for sure, but also sometimes in ways that are sinful. And it leads to death. Don't be deceived, James goes on to say. Don't be deceived, my dear brothers and sisters. Every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadows. He chose to give us birth through the word of truth, that we might be like kind of first fruits of all he created. You see here, there's a contrast. One is our desires waving around, connecting onto something in a sinful way, it giving birth to sin. And on the other hand, a good, good Father giving good, good gifts, giving birth to the word of truth, so that we might be like a first fruits, fresh examples of the with God life. You see, when our desires connect onto things other than God, it leads to sin and death. But when they attach onto the good gifts of our Heavenly Father, it leads to new life. So the alarm goes off. The anger, the fear, the shame, the guilt. And for most of us, we'll only realize afterwards, rather than in the moment. And that's okay. At the end of the day, you go back, okay, where was I angry today? Where was I fearful today? Where was I experiencing shame or guilt today? Okay, God, show me how I was disconnected from you. Give me your wisdom. Help me connect to your abundance, so that tomorrow, when that same circumstance arises, or the same person says the same thing, or whatever else, instead of reacting as strongly in anger or fear or shame or guilt this time, I'm now responding out of your abundance, out of your kingdom, out of your blessing, a bit more than I did yesterday. The connection is a bit stronger. I'm a bit more influenced by God's abundance and God's presence than I am by the world's presence and maybe lack of abundance. I encourage you to read through the rest of James and just look for that. Look for how there's appetite and approval and ambition flowing through here. I mean, in some ways, the book of James is an exposition of the Sermon on the Mount and other bits of Jesus' teaching. But God wants to do new things in you. God wants to make beautiful things out of dust. God wants to make beautiful things out of us. But that's like the big picture. The micro detail is in these moments, where we identify that we're disconnected from God and that we cooperate with God to reconnect with God's provision by His Spirit. And so you might like to just pause and think of a time recently when you were angry. Don't worry, I'm not going to ask you to say it out loud or even speak it to the person next to you, but just think about the last time you were angry. or frustrated or short. Now think about what was the underlying thing that was connected to. What appetite, a need for approval or ambition was being thwarted or taken away or not being met in your life in that moment? And then just simply say, God, how could that have been different? How could I have been more connected to you so that my response was different? So that I was able to react out and respond out of your abundance rather than my own lack. God, help me to live into that. As we become aware of these things, we can cooperate with God in God making us new. As we are aware of these things, we can get to live out of the abundance of God, the goodness of God, the greatness of God. Even when we are in terrible situations, I'm going to invite the music team to come up and we're going to sing Abide. And this is a song all about connecting to God. For my waking breath, for my daily bread, I depend on you. For the sun to rise, for my sleep at night, I depend on you. For the victory still in front of me, I depend on you. Lord, you're the way, you're the truth, you're the life. Teach me to abide. Lord, teach me to abide in your blessing. Lord, teach me to be aligned with your kingdom. Teach me to be accessing your abundance. Let's make this a general prayer that resonates in our hearts. And then let's be looking for the individual moments where God is wanting to reconnect us more strongly together. Let's stand together and sing.